Well, happy feast day to all of you here at Our Lady of Hope. It's an honor to be here with you on your feast. I think this is the first time I've been a guest priest on the feast day of a parish, and so I'm a little intimidated because this is your feast day, and I feel ill-equipped, other than that I do have great devotion to Our Lady. And she is certainly a great source of hope to me. And so as the other day, Father Killian called me and he said, by the way, you know, it's our feast day, so the readings are all going to be different too. I said, oh gosh, I have to prepare two homilies for the same day. And so here we go. This gospel passage is... on one hand, the fulfillment of all the hopes and desires of the Israelite people, of all people, for the coming of the Messiah. But it also is the beginning of hope. So how is it a fulfillment of hope? Why did, at the end of this gospel, the disciples begin to believe in Jesus? Well, if you look throughout the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, or should I say Old Covenants, each one of them has this sense of pointing forward to the coming of a Savior, to the coming of the Messiah, the one who is going to make all things right. That is, a new Adam. The first Adam brought sin into the world, and with sin, despair. And that's what all sin is, right? It's despairing, not believing that our hope will be fulfilled. And so we choose something lesser than the good that we really desire. And so all of creation, all of history up until the time of Christ was longing for a new Adam to establish a new and everlasting covenant. It would bring peace to our hearts and to our world. And so Jesus, in this miracle, reveals himself. But how does he reveal himself? Well, he reveals himself through Mary. When we hear this passage, we see Jesus say, woman. You know, if my mom at dinner said, Father Thomas, can you pass the salt? And I say, woman, what does your desire have to do with me? I'm a priest, I'd have to go sit in time out again. So why is Jesus speaking this way? Well, in English, it sounds really bad to say that. But in the Greek and in the Hebrew, it would have sounded like he said, at the very least, ma'am. So he's saying, ma'am, what does your concern have to do with me? But it's actually even more elegant than that. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, when they would say that, and actually I was talking to someone in Spanish, and they said that would actually be the proper way to speak to someone. So even in modern languages now, it would, you know, just in English it doesn't sound that good. But more properly, if you notice throughout the Scriptures, there's very few times that anyone ever addresses any lady in this way. And you notice that in all throughout the Gospel of John, that's what he calls Mary. And it actually wouldn't, have been exactly normal for a son to call his mother woman. It's more like my lady or the lady. And so when he says woman, what is he revealing? He's revealing not only that he is the new Adam, but that Mary is the new Eve. So then he says, how does your concern affect me? What does your concern have to do with me? Now, just if you were watching this, no matter how his tone of voice, you know, may have been, it still would have seemed like he's saying, you know, what does that have to do with me? But really, if he's the new Adam and she is the new Eve, then what you hear him saying is, I want to fulfill your desire. In other words, whatever concerns you concerns me. And you are coming to me with your concerns because I am the fulfillment of all desire. But this event, while it being a event that completes itself and that he fulfills the immediate desire that she has, when he says it, he's indicating that yes, the new Messiah, the new Adam and the new Eve are here. What everyone until now has been looking for is now fulfilled, but it's pointing to something more. Because what does he say after that? My hour has not yet come. And what is the hour of Christ? Well, to some extent, it is the crucifixion. But we need to understand the crucifixion in this same mysterious way. The crucifixion is something that is still happening. The suffering and death and resurrection of Christ is about to happen on this altar this morning. And so it's the already but not yet. And so we see in this interaction that at the crucifixion, when Jesus was there on the cross, he said to Mary, woman, behold your son. And then he turned to John the apostle and he said, son, behold your mother. Now, what we're longing for is not the crucifixion. What we're longing for is the resurrection. And so the hour that has not yet come, this unfulfilled aspect, how do we live throughout our lives like John the Apostle? That was the hour of Christ, but our hour is at the moment of our death. And so we are turning to Mary. Mary is Our Lady of Hope. Every desire that we have in this life, though it can only be fulfilled in Christ, is never fully fulfilled in this life. And so we have Mary as our anchor. Mary knew exactly what to ask Jesus at the wedding feast, and she was the comfort of Jesus at his death. And what Jesus hoped for at his death was that every single one of us would become like Mary. And so he turned not only John the Apostle, but every one of us needs to go and take Mary into our home. We need to behold Mary, our Lady of Hope, and find in her the way to direct all of our desires in confidence that Jesus will fulfill every hope. There's a lot of despair, I think, going on in the world. And so perhaps you all have a special responsibility to spread that hope, being that you are the parish of Our Lady of Hope. You're supposed to have that special connection, so I'm actually hoping to get some of that from you guys today. But I've had a lot of people, come to me. I think a lot of priests and a lot of people are getting, concerned people about what's going on in the world. And I was A lady came up to me the other day, and she said, Father, you need to tell everybody about the hope that we have through Mary. I said, I absolutely should, but what do you mean? And she said she prayed a rosary like 10 years ago because her daughter and her son-in-law had left the church. And as she was praying the rosary, she said that, you know, she didn't get a locution, she didn't hear the voice of God or anything, but she just had this sense that Mary was going to take care of it. And so this is, I guess, 2 months ago, maybe three, she said, did you notice that my daughter and my grandchildren are all here at church every day with me? I said, oh yeah, I did. That's the daughter. And she said, yes. And she said, you know how I did it? And I said, how'd you do it? She said, the rosary. Because Mary is our hope. And I talked to her a couple days ago with another lady there. The other lady was actually talking. She was very concerned about what she'd, you know, seen in the news. And then the same lady, she said, it's okay. Just pray the rosary. And she said, I was praying the rosary the other day. I was kind of worried about what's going on in the world. And I had that same sense, that anchor of hope, that Mary was with me and that she was going to lead me and our nation, everyone, to that peace that only comes through the new Adam, Jesus Christ. And so we are here at the altar, and all of our desires are fulfilled in Jesus. But it's also a promise that the unfulfilled things in this life, the imperfections, the problems in this world, will ultimately be fulfilled through Mary, Our Lady of Hope. Amen.